can barely see you. Through these tears I cry. I close my eyes. I can't hear the sound. As angels gather around, saying this is where you belong. Welcome home. Days that my heart aches, wishing you were here. But I know where you are, the hurt and the pain disappear. There's no more tears.
We come together in this service, which is a witness to the promise of the resurrection in Jesus Christ for those who believe. We welcome everyone here this afternoon because this is also a celebration and gratitude to God for the gift of life of George Cernansky. And we're delighted all of you are here. I would encourage you to keep Denise and the family in your prayers. We hope you will join them and a time of sharing and celebration in the reception that follows in our education building after the service. You will note in the tribute they have listed on the back that they would welcome gifts to Northwood's food pantry in order to help others, and so please note that. There are giving stations in the hallways, and gifts can go in those two boxes, or you can mail them or send them electronically to the church in memory and in gratitude for George's life. We also welcome this morning R.J. Leake. He will provide the meditation. Welcome, R.J. We're glad you're back. He will provide the meditation during the service and the prayers that follow, and so we welcome him. Hear now the call to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are God's everlasting arms. Jesus said, in fact, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let us pray. Eternal God, our heavenly Father, you love us with an everlasting love, and you can turn the shadow of death into the beautiful light of the morning. And so help us now to wait upon you with reverent and believing hearts, so that in the silence of this time, you would speak to us of eternal things, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we may have hope and be lifted above any darkness and distress into the light and peace of your presence. Oh Lord, we are so grateful to you for the gift of life of George Cernansky, and we come now in this hour to glorify you, O God, and to celebrate his life and his love. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand and sing with me the opening hymn, "Lord of the Dance," that's printed in your bulletin. In times such as these, over the centuries, Christians have gathered together, people of faith, and have looked to the Scriptures for words of comfort, for words of peace. And so we do that just now. First, I'll be reading two psalms, first Psalm 100, and then I'll invite you to join me together in Psalm 23. But first, Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is a terrific psalm. It's a psalm of thanksgiving and a psalm of celebration. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. And then you will see in the celebration program, the 23rd Psalm, I invite you to say it along with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here ends the reading of God's holy word, and to God's name be all glory and praise, world without end. Amen. At this time, we have a time of remembrance, a time of sharing. Denise and George's son, Joe, will come forth at this time, and he will share with us, and then we'll continue in the service. But I encourage you to come and share around the breaking of bread, around table at the reception together. That will be a tremendous time of sharing and celebration. Joe?
Mic check, 1, 2. Guys, we'll see how long this lasts. On behalf of my family, I'd like to thank and begin thanking everyone for being here, and those of you that sent your condolences. Much appreciated the outreach we received from everybody. Really do appreciate it. Thank you. My name is Joe, George's oldest son. Boy, where do I start? How about that drive-in? All that I have to say is I'm going to keep it brief, or some might say I'm going to cut to the chase. Those are some of my dad's favorite slug lines. With that being said, my dad is one of the most important people in my life. From growing up in Pittsburgh, taking my sister and I to school every day before he had to go to work. Don't get me started on that van he took us in. To moving our family here to Florida, where we all reside to this day. We opened a sub shop as a family. One of his brainiac ideas was to have a reality show based around this sub shop. We had myself there, my dad George, my mom, sister, brother-in-law, all worked there. Not real sure what his fixation was about having a reality show. He wasn't even really into those types of shows. He was more like a Tosh.0, ridiculousness type of guy. But with that being said, I'm going to miss him immensely. On our daily phone calls, it would normally end with him saying, "Isn't because I gotta go, it's because I gotta go." So with that being said, I did have a lot of water today, and it's not because I gotta go, it's because I gotta go. Love you, Dad.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steph. There are two New Testament readings this afternoon. The first is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, words that Jesus said to his followers. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." And then the second reading is from 1 Corinthians 13. You'll recognize it as the great chapter on love, written by the Apostle Paul. I begin at verse 4. "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put away an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Amen.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be here. My scripture this morning comes to us, or this afternoon comes to us, from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this, his holy word. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. There's my Presbyterians. Let us pray. Heavenly God, we give thanks for the word, for it is eternal as you are eternal. Lord, it is everlasting as you are everlasting. Every word that comes from the mouth of God does not disappear, but contains the power and the eternal presence, which is God. Lord, we know that this word shapes us and molds us. It gives us life. And we know that George is in the place of life with the giver of life, the author of life, this day. So, Lord, may these words continue to give life to all who hear, so that we continue to be molded, shaped, created in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that those who see us see Christ in us. There is always time, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says. There's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to dance, a time to mourn. There's a time when we're born. There's a time when we live. For some of us, there's a time when we marry, a time when we have children. There's a time for peace. There's a time for war. There seems to be a time for everything. And when we reach the end of our days, we realize that time is the most precious commodity that we have. A time for cell phones to ring in the middle of a service. And there's a time to turn them off. How about that? Maybe that's George. It could be. I mean, I would put money on it that could be George.
Doesn't have many minutes left.
Yes, right. There is a time for everything. And thank God for time, because it's the time that we remember most. Am I right? People say today that I'm not religious, that we're not religious. I'm not a religious person, but we all are religious people. We all have ritual in our life. I bet that if I was to survey this congregation at this time, this body, each of us would have to admit that at least once a day we log into Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, we tweet someone, we're following someone in the news. There are certain websites that we have to log into. How many of you have a favorite TV show that you watch, right? And you can't miss it. Some of us DVR it, right? How many of you own Netflix? We are religious people. We're religious in our own way. But thank goodness that we are religious, because it's those redundancies that we remember throughout our life, the redundancies and the rituals we remember, and who we have gone through life and those redundancies and rituals with. For example, I bet when you look at a sunset, there are certain people who come to mind. I bet you when you're at Disney World, there are memories that just come flooding back of when the kids were little, or maybe the first time you were there with your parents, or maybe that's where you spent your honeymoon. Thank goodness for these rituals. Thank goodness for us being religious people, because these are the little things that make us who we are. They build us into the people we are. And thank goodness for the people that we've spent them with, because, well, they helped us, make us, form us, and shape us into the people we are today. just like George. I remember coming to Northwood back in 1999. It was September of 99, all the way back. It almost feels like that's when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. It seems so long ago. And came from a little central town called Arcadia, in Florida, a little central town in Arcadia, Florida. Some of you have been there. I know you have. I know some of you have heard of it. But Arcadia is not Clearwater, Florida. And there were certain expectations that Arcadia had when we were there. For example, it wasn't a good youth group meeting unless someone was hurt. That was just the expectation. If someone didn't sprain a knee, sprain an ankle, bloody a nose, or something like that, well, it just wasn't a good meeting. In Arcadia, when you had church meetings, they usually ended right around 5:30 in the afternoon, usually met around 4. I can't remember the last or when we ever had a docket or a syllabus for a meeting in Arcadia. It was just all off the top of your head. What did we do this month? Well, we had church service. That's good enough for me. Meeting adjourned. That's essentially what those meetings were like most of the time. And so when our family came to Clearwater, we kind of expected the same thing. We didn't think that there would be much difference or much adjusting when we came to Northwood. Boy, were we wrong. So I remember coming to Clearwater, and I was only here maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And one meeting, a parent came up to me and said, you know, boy, so-and-so doesn't look too good. What's going on? And I said, oh, well, they were complaining that they had a headache. I guess they worked early this morning and worked through their shift as a dishwasher, and they weren't feeling well, so I gave them a Tylenol. A Tylenol? You gave them a Tylenol? Yeah, I gave them, they said they had. Who told you you could give someone a Tylenol? Did Session approve the Tylenol? Did we talk about it at Christian Education? I said, it's just a Tylenol. Yes, it's just a Tylenol. Do you know what Tylenol can do to young people's livers? How dare you give them a Tylenol? I think we may have to have a congregational meeting. I said, it's just a Tylenol. You should know better. We talked about Tylenol for about 2 hours, the next Christian Ed meeting. And we came up with a policy about giving Tylenol to children. You had to give a blood sample. You had to have parents' consent. The head of staff had to sign off on it. I mean, it was amazing what you had to do just to give a Tylenol to a child. And the meetings, oh, it wasn't Arcadia. We had dockets after dockets after dockets. And sometimes the meetings went to 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And sometimes we talked about the most, at least in my opinion, frivolous things. Have you been measuring the shorts that the ladies are wearing at youth group? Are you sure they're wearing proper attire? Do you know that we were missing 50 cents from the kitty this week, from the soda supply? Do you know somebody is not paying for their soda? Boy, I long for the days of Arcadia right about then. So I knew I had to do something. I knew I had to do something. I had to plan something. I had to do something in order to make sure that, hey, I'm the guy that you have called, that God has called to Northwood. This is where I'm supposed to be the pastor of your youth and young adults. I'm that person. So I said, ski trip. It was close to Christmas. I said, we're going to go on a ski trip. And I know the kids are going to love it. I'm going to love it. The parents are going to love it. I presented it to Session. Session didn't love it. Why are you taking the kids on a ski trip? It's not religious in theme. Well, wait a minute. Time out. Not everything has to be religious in theme. Well, it's not. Are you going to talk about Christ? Are you going to have an altar call? Are you going to sing hymns? What do you do on a ski trip? I said, well, it's a great time to bring kids who typically don't hang out together, and the only time they see one another is at youth group, and a lot of times those kids don't talk to one another. They feel like they're in a room of strangers. So let's take them out of their setting, get them away from Clearwater, out of their normal setting where they have to bond. It's a great bonding experience. And yes, we have devotions, we have this. Folks, Raymond was the tying vote to go on this ski trip. And so we went on the ski trip, and I thought, boy, oh boy, we're going to have a great, awesome time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. But now I need chaperones. And nobody was volunteering. Except this one guy who I really didn't know that well, named George Cernansky. And he said to me, hey, you know, I've never been on one of those things. I guess I'll go. I said, really? He said, yeah. And I remember coming home and saying to Tricia, I finally have a chaperone. And she said, who is it? I said, George Cernansky. She said, George who? I said, he's Joe's father. You know Joe and Jesse and Ben and married to Denise. She goes, I really don't know him. Oh, you mean that guy that always wears shorts to church? I said, yeah, that guy. She goes, are you sure you want to take him? And I said, yeah, we want to take George. I don't have any more warm bodies. I have George. So George went, and so did Tammy Shirley. Folks, every day I said to myself, this is the day I lose my job. This is the day I lose my job. This is the day I lose my job. We went on this ski trip, and if everything could possibly go wrong, it did, and then some. I remember walking into George's room, and he said, hey, you want a drink? I said, sure, I could take a drink. I thought he meant Diet Coke, water. He opened the fridge of his condo. There was wine, there was beer, there was hard liquor. He said, I thought about you. I got some non-alcoholic beer as well, because I didn't know if you drank or not. And I said, that's okay, George, but please don't tell anybody about this, okay? He said, why? I said, normally we don't allow alcohol on youth trips or church trips in general. He said, all right. He said, I didn't know. I said, I should have put that in the rules. You're right. I should have, you know, it's my fault. Just don't tell anybody I brought Tylenol, you know, along on the trip. One night, I'm sitting in the condo praying that nothing else goes wrong, and Gary Halstead pounding on my door. RJ, 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 we set the condo on fire. I said, you have got to be kidding me. He said, no, no, Mr. Cernansky forgot to open the flue when he made the fire. The condo's on fire. Isn't this awesome? I said, no, it's not awesome. I said, I'm going to become a janitor at Countryside High School, Gary. You don't understand. And so I ran into the room, and sure enough, the room is on fire. And George is on the sofa next to Jason Roberson. And I said, George, your room is on fire. And George looked at me and said, yeah, but the Jets are on TV. It's the last time the Jets were in the playoffs, by the way. And I'll never forget. He said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I said, how are you going to take care of it? Well, you guys are skiing tomorrow. I'll go out and I'll buy some cleaning supplies, and I'll clean it up. I can get it clean. I can get it clean. So later on that afternoon, as we came home from the skiing, I go to the room to see what it looks like, and George goes, hey, don't worry about it. He said, I couldn't get the stuff off the wall, but I took the picture that was hanging over the sofa, and I put it on top of the fireplace. You can't see a thing now. I said, do you think people won't notice that? He said, nah, nobody will notice that. Trust me, nobody will notice it. And of course, Gary Halstead said, I'll notice it. And I'll never forget George's reaction and what he said to Gary. He said, you know, Gary, we're up in the mountains, and there's a lot of places I could hide you. For those of you who don't know Gary, at that time in his life, he was always full of energy. He'd go, oh, yeah, yeah, I know you can. I know you can. I know you can. And George leaned over to me, and I kid you not, he said, I want you to know, I'm packing. I could really take care of him up here if you want me to. I'm going to lose my job today. I'm going to lose my job today. I'm going to lose my job today. So we're driving home, and I'll skip over those stories. By the way, there's so many George stories. I've booked myself for 3 nights at the West Shore Holiday Inn. If you want to hear those stories, I'll be in the restaurant and bar, Tiki Lounge. I think tomorrow night's karaoke as well, so just come on over. I think it's only a $5 cover charge. So we get home, and there were a couple young ladies on that trip that were just terrible. They were just always a thorn in our side. And George did not get along with them. I didn't get along with them. And when you know it, we pull up a little earlier than George, about 10 minutes before George got to the church, arrived at the church. And the parents are waiting there. The two young ladies jump out, and they're telling their mother and father what a god-awful time they had. Literally, I'm not kidding. And I have been preparing my letter of resignation all the way home. And George pulls up in the van, and the one church van we had, the back door is never quite locked. We always had a hard time locking those back doors. And just as he hits the brakes, I kid you not, this is true, as God is my witness, as George is my witness, the back doors open, and a case of wine falls at the feet of the parents. True story. I'm losing my job today. George, classic George, gets out of the van, looks at me, looks at the parents, and says, "Oops." That Sunday, we're in church, and you know Mr. Halstead, full of energy, he can't wait to tell everybody the stories about Mr. Sernansky on that ski trip. And then he did this, and then he did that, and he brought all this alcohol home, and he had a gun, and oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, and he threatened to kill me, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I thought that was it. But it had the reverse effect. From then on, when the kids knew Mr. Sernansky was going on a trip, everybody wanted to go on that trip. He was my number one chaperone. He was there for every night of joy and every rock of the universe. He went to Alaska with us. And I was telling the family earlier, I still get calls from the American Legion. Remind George it's his night to buy, okay? Up in Nincompoop, Alaska. He went to Ducktown, Tennessee. Never take George to Ducktown, Tennessee. You know, I ask people from Tennessee if they've ever heard of Ducktown, and this is their answer. Honestly, every time I say, do you know where Ducktown, Tennessee? Whoa, we don't talk about Ducktown, Tennessee. No. It's like in a horror movie, you know, every 100 years, Ducktown, Tennessee appears in the middle of Tennessee for a week, and then it disappears. And it really did feel like we were in an episode of Children of the Corn. I'm not kidding you. The first day we were there, the cook handed George a cup just with meat in it and powdered cheese. And George said, "What is that?" And the guy said, "Well, it's meat in a cup." And George says, "I can see that. I want to know what the meat is." And the guy said, it's meat. And George said, "Does your cook wear a hockey mask? And is his last name Voorhees by chance? Maybe Kruger, but not Jimmy Kruger, Freddy." He had never seen a Piggly Wiggly before. Some of you may know the grocery store. At least he was so enthralled with his Piggly Wiggly. When we came back from Ducktown that week, he wore a Piggly Wiggly shirt to church. This was George. And I can honestly say he was one of my best friends when I was at Northwood Presbyterian Church. We had the time of our life. And you know, I can't imagine a trip without him. Conyers, Georgia, like I said, all the night of joys, all the rock of the universe, everybody has a George Sernansky story. Probably more than one. And I can say this, I can remember every time, every season I spent with George. And what's really funny about George is, I bet you right now in heaven, he has an invisible fishing line attached to the pearly gates. And as St. Peter says to someone, "You can go in," he just pulls it a little as the person's reaching for the gate. He pulls it so they can't quite get it. And he thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. What do you think? I think that's true. And I think that God just laughs away, because that's how God created George. To be that person, to bring joy and life in our lives where we didn't know joy and life existed. Who knew after that ski trip that he would be integral and responsible for growing the youth group that we had at Northwood Presbyterian Church? He became a legend, but only because he loved us, because he loved kids. He loved being on those trips. He loved seeing the kids' lives changed. And I'm sure, and I know, he loved watching his life change. He didn't know God could do that in him, and he didn't know that God could, through him, could change other people's lives. But boy, did he. Boy, did he. So I can say this with the utmost confidence. There's a lot more people who want to go to heaven because George Cernansky's there. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly God, we give thanks for the times of our lives, all the seasons that we spend together, the redundancies, the rituals, the silly religious things that we do together, because those are the things that we will remember forever, beyond this life, that's for sure. We thank you for George, God, and all the wonderful laughter and love that he brought into us, into our lives, into our presence. We thank you, God, for him being a rock, a cornerstone for many of us in this room. When we were feeling down, he was there to make us laugh. And thank you for those memories that we can lean on, that we can gather around us when we're still feeling depressed, when we're still feeling lonely. We know that George is there because you live, he also lives. For not only have we been baptized in your death, but also your resurrection. And you, being the author and giver of life, you have said that all whom the Father has given to you, you will not lose one, not one, not even George. And Lord, if he's wearing a Piggly Wiggly shirt in heaven, I won't be surprised. If you have him driving a van, I won't be surprised. I'm sure he's bringing a lot of people laughter right now. The same laughter and joy he brought us in this life. So God, as we are gathered here this day, comfort us with those memories. Comfort us with your presence, your peace, your grace, and your mercy. Comfort us and remind us that we are blessed for knowing George Cernansky and all who he is and all who he has become in you. And we end our prayer using the words Jesus Christ taught all of us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing together In the Garden?
Thank you.
keep you. May his face shine upon you. May his countenance be lifted unto you. May he grant you peace this day and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen. Please be seated.